we should not let the simplicity of the parables of our Saviour, we should not let them be off-putting to us. There are many who cannot see the wood for the trees. So thinking of that, just as I was passing Gosford Forest just a couple of miles up the road, and I reminded myself that I had reference to the trees and to the wood in my introduction. Things that are hid from the worldly wise and the prudent, those who are wise in their own sight. The Bible says that things are hid from them, but they are revealed on the babes. And I remind you tonight of the Lord Jesus, who later on, excuse me, in Matthew chapter 18 said, "Except ye become as little children and be converted, then ye cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven." You can only enter into the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, on God's terms. And the door that leads to life eternal, the Bible says it is narrow. And because it is narrow, it means that we must shed much in order to enter in. Not least any feelings of self-grandeur that would sneer at the simplicity of gospel truth. And my message that is based tonight on this simple observation is directed largely to believers, to those who are already in the kingdom of God. But I do want to make tonight at the end of the meeting a very telling application to any who are still unconverted. Here we have a man who is just known as the sower who went forth to sow. And the first thing that we see about this man, number one, is that we have here the expedition of the sower. The expedition of the sower. Because it says of him there that he went forth. He went out. The word expedition is to go out. That little word ex, of course, the exit, the going out. And here's a man who went forth. If you were watching this man, supposing he was a neighbour of yours, there you are sitting in your house and you're looking out your window and you see this man going out. You would see him going out at the appropriate time. You would see him rising up from his chair and you would see him leaving his house and to go to an appointed field of labour. Why does he leave his home comforts? That's maybe would be a question that you would be asking yourself. Would his wife and his children not like to enjoy his company at home? Would they not rather that he stayed indoors? Why does he leave the comfort of the home? And why does he leave the warmth of the fire to venture outside? You might observe as you look at him going forth that there is a look of determination in his face. He is, as we would say, and very appropriate tonight, he is a man on a mission. You would know just looking at him, we talk about body language. Body language. You can look at people, you can tell just looking at them the way that they are feeling. The way he conducts himself, you would notice that he has something to do. And not only that, but he is ready to do it. Indeed, he has already begun. And he is en route to his field of labour. And this reminds us tonight, child of God, that we ought to get beyond the mere talking phrase. The mere talking phrase. We can say that the talkers are many, but the labourers are few. And there's a little word tonight, maybe a verse I'm going to quote here, maybe a word for you, where the Lord is saying, "My son, address to those who are in the family of God." He says, "My son, go work today in my vineyard. Go work today in my vineyard." And this here's a man who not only says, "I will go," but he actually goes. Because in the parable, another parable that the Savior told, the man who said that he would go did not bother going. He said that he would, but somehow, for some reason, he never made it there. But this man actually goes. He is a man of his word. We notice here's the wonder, our first point, that he goes well prepared. Well prepared. And again, I would have to say to you, as we watch him, bearing in mind that we're not sitting here in the 21st century when we read these words, but the first century. And indeed, you could be sitting in the Old Testament thousands of years ago when it comes to this man. For little had changed in those days. We notice how there is the simplicity of his equipment. Don't let that put us off. This man goes forth and he carries a bag of seed. And he's carrying little else. Maybe he has a coat with him. Maybe his lunch with him. But there's very little else. As far as his equipment is concerned, all he has is a bag of seed. The soil to which he is going has already been turned, perhaps by another. And now all it awaits is this man but to scatter the good seed far and wide. And we know that seed cannot grow, it can never grow without being sown. Ever so much of it may be in its pristine condition, it might lie in sacks in the store, but as long as it's there and it's not under the soil, that seed is not going to grow. We need to get the seed into the ground. The Bible talks about the sluggard, and it says he will not plough by reason of the cold. He will not plough. We might extend it and say he will not sow the seed. And if he does not do those things, the Bible says of that man, he will beg in the harvest and he will have nothing. Maybe you're asking a question tonight and you say, can God work without means? Can God work without means? And of course the answer is yes, of course he can. The first verse of the Bible tells us of an occasion when God worked without means. When in the beginning he created the heavens and the earth, there were no means for him to work with to create the world. But we use the theological word, don't let that word frighten you. The word that we use for that is that he ordinarily uses means. He normally uses means. And in his providence of God is how he governs his creatures. We know that he raises up and he clears the way for and he sends forth people to do his will. Nothing is ever left to chance or to fortune. And behind this very seemingly simple scene of a sower going forth to sow, there lies a more intricate program of coordinated events. They are all coming together at the right time in order to make things happen. The Bible says it is in God that we all live, we move, and we have our being. It is in him that all things consist. And when you think about the seed, think about the very first seed producing plant from which this man ultimately got his seed. You think about the nutrients of the soil. My son is studying agricultural science. And he's telling me all about the soil and the different types of soil that there are and what happens and so on. It doesn't make a lot of sense to a Belfast man, I can assure you, but I try to encourage him by at least looking interested here. But you think of the nutrients of the soil. You think of the favourable weather that is needed. We know that if it pours from one end of the year to the other, well, things aren't going to be very good. We need the favourable weather. You think about the health and the strength of the man who enjoys the basic whip to get up and to get out and to get on with this job like his industrious forefathers. This is the expedition of this man. We're sitting here and we're watching him, and it says he went forth. But we notice something else here, not only the expedition, but notice here, secondly, we have the expectation of this man. Why is he going out? Why is he leaving his wife and his children, the warmth and the comforts of his home? Well, the scripture tells us here, and it says he went out to sow. He went out to sow the seed. And this speaks of his faith. His faith. Now, I must needs remind you tonight, in case you're still in this way of thinking, that faith is not just, or it's not something that is warm and fuzzy. We're living in an age that has made faith to be all kind of gooey. There's a good word, isn't it? It's all kind of gooey. It's one of those words that you can make it to mean what you want it to mean. And there's a lot of things get pushed under this title of faith that is not faith. It is not a catch-all word for what you want it to mean. And if you have made up and concocted your own little interpretation of that word, and it's all warm and fuzzy and gooey and so on, then it is far removed from the Bible concept, and it is certainly not the faith that saves. I'm putting to you that this man had faith because he believed, and he not only believed or said he believed, but he worked what is known as the law of the harvest. And the law of the harvest is found in God's word. It says this, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Here's a man who believed that if he took and planted, sowed the seed in the ground, it would lie there for a little time. You'd have all the nutrients, you'd have all the weller and so on. He believed it would lead to a harvest later on. As he's sowing the seed on this ground, he sees in his mind's eye, see, now I'll be back, and this seed will be full of wheat. This seed will be full of corn. There will be, in the words of Scripture, first the blade, then the ear, and after that the full corn in the ear. And so he takes his bag of seed and he empties that bag in the appointed field. He goes up and down the field. Again, the simplicity of it is mind-blowing. And he is just scattering the seeds. He's broadcasting them. That's what it means. You've all seen the little picture books. You probably got them for Sunday school prizes. Those in the Lady Bird books come to mind, where the sower is just there in his Eastern garments, and he's walking maybe in sandals or barefoot, and he's just scattering the seed far and wide, scattering the seeds to the wind. And I'm putting to you that in that man's part was a work of faith. Now this man could not make the seed to grow. He could only do so much. But he did what he could, and he did what he could very well. And like the sower, we know that Christians sow the good seed. In Luke's account, Luke chapter 8 and verse 11, we have the interpretation that is given there as well. We have a little more given to us there than what we have in Matthew. And we are distinctly told, lest we should lose the point, that the seed is the word of God. The seed is the Bible. The seed is that book that you're now holding in your hand and from which I am preaching to you tonight. And when this seed takes good root in the heart of sinners, it often brings them into the kingdom of God. In other words, they are born again. Listen to the words of James. Chapter 1, verse 18, he says concerning God, of his own will. This is rooted in the sovereignty of God, of his own good will, his own will. He begot us, that is, we were born again, with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits. There's the harvest theme. That we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Again, listen to Peter. Peter says, being born again, not of corruptible seed. Isn't that interesting? Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, by the word of God that liveth and abideth forever. And this is a supernatural work of God. We believe in this church in the supernatural. There's things that happen in a material sense. We accept that. We're not against that thought. But we believe in divine intervention. We believe there's times when the transcendent God of heaven steps in distinctly, a supernatural intervention. And that's what it is when a sinner is brought into the kingdom of God, using the means of the scripture sown in the heart, but the agent of regeneration, the one who causes the seed to go deep into the heart, to take root, is the Spirit of God. Listen to what Jesus said, except a man be born again, born of the Spirit, born from above, born supernaturally, then he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. We know that man, excuse me, can indeed counterfeit it. You have to watch out for that. But he can never produce it. And that's why we pray in our prayer meetings, both in the middle of the week and then before the various meetings, we gather to pray. And we pray that God will supernaturally intervene. The souls will be saved. And we realize that if God does not supernaturally produce faith, then that soul is going to be lost. And we have this thought captured in one of the great hymns in our hymn book. We didn't sing it tonight, but there's a hymn in which we confess our ignorance in five different verses. I know not. I know not how this saving faith to me he did impart, or how believing in his word wrought peace within my heart. I know not how the Spirit moves, convincing men of sin, revealing Jesus in his word, creating faith in him. Is it a hymn of ignorance? Indeed it is, but it's also a hymn of faith. Because the chorus that we sing after every stanza or every verse says, but I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. And I know that this is a gospel that saves. The seed in the ground does exactly what the Lord wants it to do. Again, hear the word of the Lord. This time it's from Isaiah. As the rain cometh down, as the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but it waters the earth, and makes it to bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. God says, so shall my word that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. And that's why tonight we're preaching with the utmost confidence, preaching tonight in faith. We're holding forth again this word of life. We believe in the power of God. And we ask that question tonight, is there anything too hard for the Lord? And we remember the answer. With God, nothing is impossible. The expedition of the sower, expectation of the sower, number three, very quickly, we have tonight the example of the sower. Let me apply this to Christians. If you profess faith in the Lord Jesus, if you've been sitting at the Lord's table, if you've been baptized as a believer, you're professing to be a Christian, God wants you to be a sower. And I ask tonight, and why not? Maybe you can never be a pastor of a church. You can never be a pulpit man. The thought of coming into a pulpit, having to study the Word of God, get all these things set out in order, watertight sermon, get up and preach. Well, you say, that would never be for me. I could never do that. I could never debate the great theological debates that go on. Well, that might be so, but there's still something you can do to sow the seed. Can you teach children? Can you teach children? Can you gather half a dozen round you and sit in a pew with them and teach them in simplicity the Word of God? Maybe that's beyond you tonight. Or could you sit among the children in a children's meeting and keep them in order? Sometimes all you just have to do is give a little cough, just a little sort of wee poke. I don't know if you're allowed to poke them now or not, but just give them a wee, you know, wee look at them. Wee look and sort of calm them down, keep them focused. Well, you could do that for someone else to teach them. Maybe you could stand at an open-air meeting, even if you cannot preach. Could you hand out a gospel tract to someone? Just somebody going by and you just say, well, here, would you accept a little gospel leaflet? Could you take it home with you and read it? Well, if not, could you start off just by pushing them through letterboxes, even if you do it at night? I'm sure there's something, you know, there's something you can do for the Lord whereby you can say, when you go forth, I am not sore off the seed. I find it very hard to believe that there's nothing that you can do that will qualify you as a sower. You can be a sower, and you ought to be a sower of the seed. I may have a little word to the unsaved among us tonight. I said that I would. If nothing else, see the arrangements that God puts in order. You've heard the message. We're exhorting Christians to get out with the gospel in one form or another as far as the sowing of the seed is concerned. God is putting these arrangements in order to bring you the gospel of his Son. This old story of Jesus and his love. You're sitting tonight in a lovely building. The lights are on. The doors are open. People who have heard the gospel many, many times delight it together. And they have a desire for you is that you would be saved. And this sowing of the seed comes on the back of Christ dying for our sins. Christ, the sinless Son of God, the one who knew no sin and did no sin, neither was any guile, lies found in his mouth. And yet he went willingly to the cross of Calvary, the spotless Lamb of God. And the Bible says he gave his life as a ransom for many. He bore our guilt and he took our shame. And because he loved us so much, God poured out the wrath that was our due. Upon the Lamb was laid. By the shedding of his blood, the debt for us was paid. Jesus paid it all. I paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left the crimson stain. Christ washed it white as snow. What does that ensure tonight? Because the Lord paid the debt, salvation is without money and without price. And you need to come. How often have you heard this message? You see, when you go back over that parable again, you have the seed gone on the all different ground. And I wouldn't like to think that there's anybody here, and you're represented by that ground, whereby when you hear the word, the birds of the air, representing the evil one, the very devil himself, coming and plucking away the good seed, and to come in and out of the house of the holy, the house of God, week in and week out, with a hardened heart, is not the place where you want to be. Because he that being often reproved and hardens his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and not without remedy. But this is the day of grace. This is the day of love. This is the day when the doors are open. Whosoever will, let him come. Will you come tonight? Whether you're young or old, whether you're new to the area, or maybe here for many, many years, I believe that God is calling. God is calling. would you not come to him tonight? Send us sower home happy. Send us sower home rejoicing that a soul has been forgiven. May God bless his word. Well, there's not much more I can do. I've preached it. I'm just praying that God would apply it to all of our hearts. May the Lord bless these things, this preaching to your heart.